Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Chantel Riley.
Hi.
Hi. So Chantel, you know, there's so many wonderful things about you and your work that you do as a death doula.
Yes.
And so I would love for you to share more with our audience about who you are, what your background is, and the work that you do. Because I know whatever I say won't probably do it justice.
Okay. Everybody sit back and get comfortable. So, again, yes, I'm a death doula, or also known as an end-of-life doula. Some people use it in a lot of different terms.
Mm-hmm.
I like end-of-life doula, one, because it's a little bit softer. So people typically hear the word death, and they typically run like it's like a skunk or something. So it allows us to actually kind of gently guide people in our direction. So I have been a death doula going on 6 years in August. A little bit of background about me. I am a registered nurse. I'll be over 16 years experience as a registered nurse. So just the opportunity to be on the human side of healing and caring is a really big thing for me. I am also a certified grief counselor. I am also a certified thanatologist, which is actually one of my favorite words in the whole wide world. Thanatologist. Thanatologist is a person who studies death, dying, and bereavement. So I love that. I'm basically a human who decided that I really enjoy those types of things. So I decided to study it a little bit harder. I am also a mother to 3 sons. I am a bereaved mother because I lost my oldest son in 2016. I am a grandmother. I am a fur mom. I have a nice little Frenchie named Avon. I am a feather mom because I have chickens, and I'm a shell mom because I have a turtle as well. I started this journey, actually, becoming an end-of-life doula. People ask me why, for the most part, and I say death brought me to it.
Mm-hmm.
And which probably be like, duh, in a sense, but also, actually, it's a little more deeper than that. In 2009, my mother, she died. She had a stroke, and it was a different experience because my mother was a heart transplant patient, and we already knew we had extra time with her, and knowing that there was a period of time where it was a lot more hospitalizations and things were changing, and we kind of thought that there would possibly be this end of life, you know, process happening because of the heart, just it was time. But then she ended up having a stroke, something we did not plan for, and it was pretty much within a 24-hour period of time when we were notified of what happened to saying we needed to make a decision of what we were going to do because she wasn't going to make it.
That's a lot.
It's definitely a lot to process, and especially during that time I was already a registered nurse. We were actually at the hospital that I worked at where I actually got my first job because she was a patient there so much that
Absolutely.
It's kind of like I got grandfathered in just because of her hospitalization experiences. Mm-hmm. And that was a very devastating experience. One, because 24 hours, you don't have a lot of time to process something like that.
Right.
And then, as I mentioned before, in 2016, I lost my oldest son in Milwaukee. He was through violence in Milwaukee. And that was also a very devastating but really traumatic experience of having to go through as a mom. And a year after that, my grandmother, who was at the beautiful age of 90, she died. And there's a difference where I say there's life ended abruptly. So when things are not planned,
right,
and it just happens, and then there's life cycles that are completed. So my grandmother was like a life cycle completed. She lived 90 beautiful years on this earth. She accomplished a lot of things, and we got to experience her in a full form. So when she died, it was a very different type of experience. She was able to come home on hospice, even though it was a short period of time. She was able to be honored in that way. So it was just a totally beautiful thing. And then there was this experience of me learning that death can be traumatic, but it can also be beautiful. And just like that beginning takeaway was kind of like something that was really like...
Just stuck with you.
Yeah, just like, this is not always a bad thing. And just having that be kind of like my last close experience with death was like, it just landed in a different way. But my mother and my grandmother always talked about death, had no problems. They were very realistic about it. And just knowing that here, if something happens to me, my mother would say, if something happens to me and I would have to go behind those glass doors, which was our ICU, the hospital unit that I worked on in the hospital, she's like, don't do all those extra things. And then it wasn't until I was in nursing school that I understood what those extra things were. And that was life-sustaining measures, like putting on like a breathing machine or anything like that. So it was like, okay, I get it. So going back to her experience when that 24-hour time frame came and they said, well, what do you want to do? It wasn't a difficult decision. She didn't have a power of attorney for healthcare advance directives in place, but it was more of how do we honor her? We honor her by doing what she asked us to do. So when I'm having to explain to my dad, my grandmother, and my two sisters that this is what they're asking of us, but also being able to explain that this is what she wanted, it was easier for us to accept that this is what we were going to follow through with.
And that's through those conversations that you had with her, because she was so open. And even though she didn't have the proper documentation in place, which I know we'll talk about that as well, like the importance of that, but it starts with those conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so through the experience, even with my grandmother, it was like, you know, we're all going to die, you know, one day. She's like, it's the debt we're all going to have to pay is what she called it.
Uh-huh.
And so, but she was like, but my life insurance is here and all these things were all like in place and everything. And it was like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
Right. There's a lot of planning. And you know, that's what we're talking about
Absolutely.
Today. There's a lot of planning that even we do with our clients through the financial planning side of things, right? Making sure you've got all the documents in place, making sure that your family is going to be cared for and protected in the ways that makes the most sense for you in the situation.
Absolutely. And even just to tie that together, like it was me and my son were actually riding down the street together, and we were like, my son actually had a son, and I was in the car, and we were like, and I looked at him, and I'm like, you know what? You need to get life insurance. Mm-hmm. And it really truly was kind of like a poor man's inheritance type of concept at the time. And it was like, you know, because, you know, when you die and, you know, just like if he graduates, you know, from high school or something and is like, I don't really want to do X, Y, and Z, you know, like right now. Like, and it's like I want to have time to figure out and find like what I want to do in life. I said just to be able to have that supportive little cushion and space to be able to do that would be very nice for him. He's like, absolutely. You know, he's like, I really need to do that. But it was like a week or so later that he was gone and we didn't get a chance to follow up with that. Mm-hmm. So then it was this process of like not just how to bury him, but how financially we were going to bury him, because he was at the age of 23. So he was considered to be an adult at that time. So all of these different things kind of like get into this space, and it landed on me in such a way. It was like, I want to start doing community education on the value of life insurance and advance directives because we need this. Because yet, guess what? We are dying and nobody's talking about these things.
Right.
And what's left behind after all of that happens, it's just a very devastating and traumatic thing. And it was just like, I want to go talk. I want to talk to people. And I want to like, and I started like hosting like these workshops. I met with a person who does life insurance and I'm like, I don't know anything about life insurance. So I know about dying and the impact of what happens when we right. don't have these things. So I would love to be able to share that story and connect with people that way. And so my friend was like, I'm going to send you this video. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I share with another friend what I, you know, this is what I want to do because I really want to start working with people a little more one-on-one, you know,
right.
and being able to share that and kind of getting them to navigate this in more of a supportive way. And my friend's like, I'm going to share a video. And then I meet with a friend who I hadn't talked to in years, you know, and she's like, oh, I see what you're doing and everything. And I was like, yeah, but I really want to get into the space of really starting to work with people a little more closer, one-on-one and everything. She's like, oh, I'm going to share this video. And I'm like, okay, so like seriously, three people have told me they're going to share this video. And I just like go to like through Facebook, like Messenger, and I like see the same little clip. And so the last time I'm like, I open it up, I see the same clip and I'm like, maybe I should just watch this video.
Mm-hmm.
And I open up the video and I remember it was like a lady, she was sitting at a table. It was an older lady. It was two adult children and it was like her grandchild kind of like playing in the background. And then she said, she's talking about her cancer diagnosis. And she's talking about, like, basically how she's feeling about this experience and kind of what she wants. Adult children kind of very uncomfortable with it, but just there and present and listening. And this lady's on the other side of the table. And I remember her being in the car. And she's like, my name is Alua Arthur, and I'm a death doula. Mm-hmm. And I was like, a what? I want to be a death doula. I was like, how do you get to be a death doula? Like, wait a minute, what is a death doula? You know, and she's, like, sharing this, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like, that's what I want to do. But I'm also a registered nurse. So I'm like, so like, what school do you sign up to and how do you get this training and do you get a license or a certification?
Right.
Like, is this a real thing though? Like, or did she just like make this up? So here I go down that lovely rabbit hole of internet, you know, searching. And I'm like, wow, this is something that people are really doing.
Because it is so important. And to like normalize talking about each of our own ends,
absolutely.
Right? Each at the end of each of us, and to be able to put in the what is really important. Of course, there's again the documents, there's the insurance, and there's the rest of it.
Yes,
and that's where I think the value of having people that want to do that one-on-one work with others and that caring, supportive, you know, really compassionate way,
right.
and educated.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's take a short break. When we're back, I'd like to kind of get more into some of the things that you're seeing and working with people and ideas for our audience to go through.
Awesome.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Chantel Riley, end-of-life doula, and we are talking about that kind of work. So, Chantel, I'd love for you to share with us about when you're working with one-on-one individuals, families, you know, doing this like end-of-life planning with care and compassion, and the knowledge on what are the most important things and what are things to think about. What are some of the themes that you've seen when working with people?
I would honestly say the biggest theme is that people think that they're dying for other people.
What do you mean by that?
So when we have this conversation and where I typically start with a kind of get to know you.
Mm.
And because I need to know where you're coming from before we know where we're going. So just a little bit of background, you know, it's like if it's religious background, spiritual background, like how your family dynamics are, learning about those different things. One, because it's really important, and I'll tell you why. And so when we get to the part of like we're talking about like what their plans are, what their decisions are, like are they thinking about wanting a burial versus like a cremation, mm-hmm. If they've had these conversations with family already. And the look that kind of comes across people's face, like no, you know, like this right. this automatic, like fearful, like I don't want to talk about that with people. And their thoughts are not necessarily their thoughts. Their thoughts are what they think other people want to actually, like, it's like doing an interview for a job. And you may have an answer that you really want to answer truthfully, but you're like, I don't know if that's the right answer for
what
them.
What do they want to hear?
Because they might mm-hmm. want this versus this. So I'm going to answer for what I think they would want to hear versus what I really feel. And two ways that you can look at that, it's like, am I really presenting my true self?
Mm-hmm.
Am I really allowing someone to get to know me based upon that? Or am I not being my true self, but now I'm going to be subject to having to be constantly what I think someone else wants me to be? So when it comes down to those planning and those decisions, the decisions aren't necessarily made for what they feel would be the best thing for them. It's what they feel other people would want or would be comfortable with or what would they prefer. Primary example, I was working with a client and we were having a discussion about what would they want, a burial, cremation. And the answer came back is that because of their religious background and belief in their family, the preference would have been cremation.
Mm.
But because of my family religious background and our relationship, I probably would have to choose a burial.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, is that something you would really want? And there was a pause, and it was kind of like, well, it's because, you know, that's our background. So it was like just going back to this reference point of, well, that's what would be preferred for everybody else. And that would be, it's okay if I do it that way with them, for them.
Sure.
And then a week later came back for a visit. And at the time, the parent was over. And we had the conversation again because I'm like, the person that you were actually making these decisions
is actually here.
Mm-hmm. So, and I said, you know, we were having a conversation last week and we were kind of talking about like different types of plans as far as like, you know, burials, cremations and things like that. And I asked the parent, have you thought about what you were going to do? And the parent said, I'm getting cremated.
So right there was a disconnect because nobody had talked about
Absolutely. It. And the person, my client, like leaned over like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. And like total surprise. And I looked at them like, see?
What a lesson right there for your client.
Yes.
And really for everybody listening to this story, the parent, the client, you, right now our audience.
Absolutely.
Right? Again, that importance of being able to have, you know, sensitive conversations in a meaningful way without the fear.
Yes.
Right, without being afraid. I know when working with people, we talk to our clients about how they talk to their family about their end. And, you know, oftentimes the parent, or they are a parent of a grown child, and they'll say that grown child said, you know, Mom, I don't want to talk about that right now.
Oh, that's a very common response.
Right, all the time.
Very common response.
But it's going to happen. We all have an end.
We do.
We don't get to plan when it is.
No. I tell people, I also facilitate Death Cafe. So Death Cafe is actually one of those lovely social spaces where people can come and talk about all things death related. And my biggest part about that is including life, because living is part of dying. And so when we have these conversations and we're talking about those different things, the question comes up, I always like to throw this question, and I'm like, so on our birth certificate, we have a date of birth. What if you had a date of death?
Mm-hmm.
Would it change how you did things in this world? I would strongly believe that it would, because you know that there's like this timeline that you're actually looking at and working with.
Right.
So knowing that you have this end date that's already stamped there, you're going to live your life accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to say, well, I'm going to wait to have that trip. I'm not going to wait to buy this thing or do this thing. I'm not going to wait for these things. You can plan for it.
Right.
In such a way, knowing that you have a timeline to work with. But sometimes we wait to do things with this open-ended, like we have this forever end timeline for it. Like there's no ending timeline.
Right.
So we will wait to do something before we actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, if we know that we have an end time, then why don't we just make the move? I said, I'd rather die planning a trip than never take the steps to plan the trip.
Sure. I'll tell you, it'd make financial planning a lot more guaranteed.
Yes.
If
yes.
we knew the end date,
absolutely.
Right? It'd be a lot easier. And we don't. No. But that doesn't prevent us from planning financially. Same
exactly.
thing, like it shouldn't prevent us from planning for what's going to happen eventually.
Right.
So that being said, so not having those conversations sounds like it's probably one of the bigger themes.
It's very problematic.
Yeah. Or really, I think how you first started that even was just assuming what others want and making your decisions for them.
Exactly.
How do you coach people through that piece there, right? The making decisions for others.
I like to speak in like metaphors and analogies. That's just my way. I like to reframe a lot of things in life because sometimes we just need that. And my example that I use for people all the time, I said, we live in Wisconsin. So when it comes down to seasons, what season do people in Wisconsin not like the most?
The winter.
Absolutely. And I'm like, people are just going to just throw that one out there, obviously.
Yeah.
And I said, and it's such a way that we don't even allow ourselves to actually enjoy the experience of fall, the leaves changing or anything. I said, soon as summer ends, we're all like jumping immediately to the thoughts of winter. It's like, winter's coming. It's going to get cold. We're going to be freezing. It's going to be so much snow. And I was like, it's all these things that are happening. And it's like, but we have whole season that's happening mm-hmm. right here that we don't even get a chance to embrace because we just jumped automatically to winter. So I said, but what happens every winter? We throw on our hats, our scarves, our gloves, our boots. We bundle up and we go out there in the world.
And live our lives.
And we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell them, so just imagine this. I said, so we adjust. We adjust to the change because we know that we have to keep living. And this is part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine yourself being the weather. You are the weather and people will adjust.
Mm-hmm.
They will adjust because they love you. Will they like it? Absolutely not. But they will adjust because they love you. So when you make decisions, remind yourself that you are the weather and people will adjust.
That is really an interesting way to think about that. I was going down the path in my head when you were talking about how we prepare for winter, like making sure the snowblower has gas and we've got, the windshield wash and the de-icer, in your in the tank in the car.
And that's another lovely aspect to be able to approach pre-planning.
Right.
Because we have to do those things because we know wintertime is coming.
Right. Whether you like it or not, winter's coming.
And you would surely hate to find out that your snowblower is not working because we got the surprise, 6 to 8 inches of snow,
before
we even had to get up to leave the house. And we still have to leave the house. And it's
for sure.
Pre-planning is important.
Exactly. Well, with that, let's take a short break. When we return, we will talk about more of the work that you do in end-of-life planning. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Chantel Riley, end-of-life doula, and many other fabulous things. Chantel, we've been talking about, why it's important to talk to your family about your end-of-life and what you want. Can you share a bit about the work you do with your clients and what are the different things that you help them plan and facilitate their decisions for?
Oh my God, yes. So we can start with what I consider to be like the basics. The basics are the things that we hope that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an advanced directive? So an advanced directive basically is kind of like that big umbrella for those other little documents like your power of attorney for healthcare, your living will. So power of attorney for healthcare can also lead into your durable power of attorney for your financial aspect. And if you don't have these things, then we want to talk about why they're important for you to have them and if we can get those things put together for you. I would like to know, you're living in a house. Do you rent? Do you own?
Mm-hmm.
Who does the money go to? If it's going to who, how do we contact those people? Because in the event that something happens to you, how do we get in contact with them? How do we let them know that this event has happened? And how do we either obtain documents for you? How do we share documents with them? So we like to be able to have those things written down. So if you own a vehicle, are you paying for that vehicle? Who does that money go to?
Right. And these are all those topics that touch on a bigger estate planning.
Yes.
Right, which is something that we really encourage all of our clients to have, you know, through an attorney, obviously, but for their folder.
Yes.
We
yes.
think about their end-of-life folder you're working with. You know, you still need to have that roadmap there.
Because you're wanting to identify their needs.
Right.
And versus kind of the things that what they have, because it's like this is opportunity for education and this opportunity to be able to gather those things, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are trying to find out, like, who are your support team? Who in your family? Like, who are your people that you lean on for support? Who are your people who have information? Like, who's your doctor? Because
right.
if we need to get in contact with them about medications and things like that, like who do we contact? Because you say, I'm going to a doctor's appointment. We don't always say who we're going to and where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that we have all that laid out in that way. Do you have a life insurance policy? And I jokingly use this, you know, said it's kind of difficult to just go home to someone and say, do you have a life insurance policy? I say, because someone's sitting at the table or they're sitting where they are and they're looking at like, what are you trying to take me out or something? Like, why are you asking
right.
this question? And it's just like,
right.
no. Well, because I went to a death cafe or I spoke with a doula or I heard a podcast and someone was saying like how important it is to know like if you have a life insurance and who is it through?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something called a beneficiary listed on there?
Right. Exactly. All very important things.
Do you have
on all of your accounts?
Bank account.
Right.
Do you have a bank account? Do you have a beneficiary listed on your bank account?
Exactly.
People are like, a beneficiary listed on my bank account. It's like, yeah.
Very important. Chantel, you are speaking our
happens.
Language right now.
Go figure.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, and those are things that we typically don't think about when we open up a bank account. And so,
mm-hmm.
and then you mention it in a community setting. They're like, what? And it's like, well, let me tell you why that's important for you to have a beneficiary on your bank account. Because do you know after you die and you're looking to get access to these funds and you're not listed on this account, there's a whole bunch of things you will have to go
a
through to do that.
And mm-hmm.
guess what? Those funds may actually be connected to them planning that funeral for
right.
you
right.
or the burial for you. So we need to be able to have access to those things. Do we have... If there's a deed, do you have any other documents that were passed down from other family members, generations before you?
Right.
Where are these documents? Where do you hold them? Are they sitting in a Pringle can or
right.
what? Are they in the back of the cabinet where my grandmother said that they would
right.
be? Are they protected by fire retardant? You know,
exactly.
Like, are they just in a folder? Where do we keep these things safe and secure?
And letting your family, who you trust, to know where those documents are.
Next question.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows about these things?
Right.
Because it's great that you know about it, but what happens if you can't tell anyone?
Yeah.
Who would be the person that someone would go to and say, something happened, and it doesn't necessarily always have to be death. You could get in a car accident.
Exactly.
And now you're on a machine right now holding you over temporarily because the injuries, you need time to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But they need all of this information. So how do we get all this information put together in a space and yet have someone else who knows about that just the event that something happens to you and someone else can have access to it. Super important.
Right.
So to be able to get all that information and gathering together, because if I find out you don't have it, let's get it.
Right. Get you organized and arranged. Like we do that with our clients, you know, in financial planning too, a grab and go binder, right? Organized, arranged with the most important information at somebody's fingertips. And it's not really for the client exactly. It's for who might have to step in.
And it's actually interesting that people can't see in this world of how big the smile is right now, because it's just showing how these worlds are just so interconnected.
Exactly.
And we typically, we live in this thing where we think life and death are two totally separate events.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually, no, they're not. Like, they're part of your life continuum. Like, you're born, you live, and you die.
Yeah.
So all the things that you do in the middle of all of this really matters. So just making sure, like, we have all of those documents in place, putting them all together, making them accessible to people, and just knowing who are the people that you're making them accessible to.
Right.
Having those conversations, because people are sometimes challenged by having the conversations. Why? Because, one, people think that if I have the conversation, it's going to make this go, or it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's an omen. It's too much of a prediction.
So I challenge anyone who thinks like that and they feel that way. And I said, how many times have you talked about $1 million?
And it rarely ever comes true.
And then do you have it? So if you say, well, I've talked about $1 million or having a lot of money or winning the lottery a whole bunch of times, and yet I have not, but I am still here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still living to go through that whole process all over again. So why not have that same approach about talking about end of life?
Exactly. That's really important. And then beyond documents and policies and kind of getting arranged if something happens, what are the other pieces that you work with clients on?
Which are what are considered to be the hard part. So that part was the easy part.
I know that is the
easy part. So the other part, you know, hypothetically, those are the easy part. So the hard part is talking about what would you like for you? Would you like to be buried? Would you like to be cremated?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to have a memorial service? Would you like to have a celebration of life? I had a beautiful experience of planning a celebration of life with one of my clients. They were so into music in such a way that they were able to create their own playlist.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful is that? When you can decide, like, these are the songs that I want people to remember me. And people are going to have these connections with you about these songs that they hear, too. Because every life experience that we have journeys that we share with other people.
Right.
And so what is a better way at the end to bring all of that together? By music, by sounds, by people know my favorite color is black, black and blue. So if I say everybody's wearing black and blue, they'd be like, obviously, those are her favorite colors. Why not? You know, they know that I love, you know, like I have a thing with skulls, you know. So it's like, of course, you know what? You can bring them, lay them, do whatever you want to, paint them, have fun. You just know that it's a representation of me, because guess what? It's twofold. What you're planning for is also allowing people to remember you for who you were in this world. And it also allows people to start their healing journey when you leave.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff. You know, that's an interesting concept, right? To think of it as your funeral, we'll just use the easy word of funeral, right? Memorial celebration is a representation of you.
Yes.
But, let's take a short break, because I would love to hear more about how you work with clients on that second part that you just shared. Like, it's also how people, it's starting their healing journey after you're gone, how you tie those two sides together, right? The celebration, representation of who you are as you have left, and then how that leads into who you've left behind and their journey. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is end-of-life doula Chantel Riley. Chantel, we've been talking all about the planning for end-of-life. you know that we appreciate the focus on those legal documents, beneficiaries, and those pieces that are so incredibly important from just the logistics. So when you think and work with clients about that representation of yourself, like you shared at the end of the last segment, and even leading into how that helps others around you who loved you, cared for you, start their healing journey, I'd love for you to share with our listeners about those pieces of the work you do.
Just a little sigh.
I know, I just asked you a giant question.
No, it's and the sigh, not just for me, but sometimes for the people that are listening.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge that when people think, like, ultimately I'm going to leave this earth.
Yeah.
It's a very fearful thought. And right. Sometimes the thought comes into play because they're like, what they're leaving behind, who they're leaving behind is more of the bigger thing. And so the people who are feeling that they're being left behind. And it's like this whole combination of like, oh my God. So the theme about that is like, nobody wants it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how can we create something that leaves people this part of you and also allows people to receive that part of you and allow them to have something for them to carry on going forward? So those memorial service and those celebration of lives are just super important. The goal is to have it be a reflection of you where they can take that with them and they start their healing journey. Because the common thing that I share with people is that we make the memories. Make the memories, because people are always going to have the memories. Even physically, if you're not there, the memories are going to last forever. The memories are going to be the legacy that you leave behind, the stories that people are going to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine you have this wonderful, beautiful celebration of life. And not just a calm, like, I'm like, I need lights,
Lights.
I want wonderful, fun music. I love, snacks, refreshments, things like that. Things that are kind of like my favorite, but they also know that they're my favorite. Like I tell people curry. Curry is a big thing. So like it's down to like the details.
Right.
So the big picture, burial, cremation, memorial service, celebration of life, things like that. Some people don't want any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. And just kind of like having that understanding. So
well,
how?
That's almost just as important.
Yes.
Right? To make sure that your wishes on that end are shared in a way that your who you leave behind can still feel like they can start their healing journey.
Absolutely. Because I'm also a certified grief counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So working with people after they've experienced the loss of individuals, sometimes it's like they haven't had that opportunity, in a sense, to say goodbye.
Right.
And so it's like this open-ended thing, and there's this big void in that space. So it's like it's kind of like trying to be able to bring those two spaces closer.
Sure.
So they can start to navigate that healing journey for them. So if you choose to say, well, I don't really want any of that. So what would it look like for you if you wanted to leave something behind for those that you love and care about?
Mm-hmm.
And that could be doing a video of just saying, you know what? Peace. I'm out. Life was great here. you know, 10 out of 10, I would recommend it. You know, 0 out of 10, I wouldn't recommend it. But guess what? But I enjoyed my journey with everyone here.
Mm-hmm.
And giving that to someone. So, yes, you don't have to do a memorial service. You don't have to do a celebration of life. It could be a letter.
Right.
That you wrote, you could pen this, you know, beautiful letter or a poem to people. And that is also coming into the area of getting to know you and who you are. Because if you are a writer, then guess what? If you write that last little farewell to people, that's giving them that part and says, obviously makes sense, you know.
Right.
And so what you do and what you choose, and that's the biggest part of what I do, is to guide this to be a reflection of you. Because the reflection of you is what everyone has when you leave here.
Right.
And it allows them to carry their life forward. Because when they're moving forward, they're taking that part and they're going forward in life and allowing them to say, I have this part of you and I get to carry this with you and I get to share this with other people. So I might have a year later, we'll come back around and we're going to have a totally different celebration, you know, mm-hmm. just coming back and enjoying the moments and bringing those memories back once again, because you know what? Life was full here.
Right.
And I want to be able to share that here. So just getting people to see that in that perspective, that, you know, life was full here and I want to be able to leave something behind for other people and getting to identify what that looks like. So like how, like the project that I just started to design your departure.
Yeah.
So like more. People to coming mm-hmm. together in this space in a social setting, because we're fearful to talk about these things, you know. So it's like, hey, let's turn into a nice little social event and we'll have conversations. We'll get to design your departure based upon how you want it, how you feel, and how you get to share this with other people. And you get to be the creator of it. You are the designer of it. The same way you have designed the life that you live, you design the life that you exit.
Yeah, I really like that idea of making it, again, normalizing it. And if you have a group of people trying to do the same thing, it just, again, brings a sense of community within that small group, mm-hmm. right?
Yes,
encouraging absolutely. Each other to make the decisions
yes.
that are best for them,
yes.
right? This isn't going to be a cookie cutter where everybody in no. the room has the same funeral planned. It's
yes.
going to be intended to be something that's, again, encouraging, sense of community around it. Really giving people that autonomy to be able to think through these things
more than
in
anything.
A supported way.
Yes.
Right? With
yes.
with that bigger guidance that you're able to bring.
Yes. So just like, just imagine me getting to be your facilitator of this experience.
Right, right.
And talking jokingly about like, ooh, like, you know, that dress you never really liked, but that was the only one they found in the closet and they put that on you, you know?
Right.
Like, how would you feel about that? You know, like you would think like, ew, gosh, no. Like, matter of fact, I'm going to go throw it away today because I want to make sure that they don't find that dress. But how about you put down like, I would prefer this type of thing, you know?
Right, right.
You know, don't put on shoes. I'm not walking around anywhere later. So,
sure, right.
you know,
there's
I'm a
so
barefoot
many decisions.
Girl.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So like, how do we walk through this process? Because I live in a community that a lot of people don't get this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So the work that I do is also creating space for others who don't always have access to those things.
Right. And that's really important, too, because
yes.
everyone deserves this kind of planning.
Absolutely.
You know, we feel that way about financial planning. Everyone deserves financial planning. It's super important. And so to at least provide opportunity for someone to engage in it
so, yeah,
is
I think
an
that's
important
a,
piece.
And so where our lives align in that space is
mm-hmm.
that because people don't feel that they deserve or don't feel like they have access or right to something like that, it's an opportunity to actually start to normalize the conversations and the education. So people say, you know what? That does apply to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, for me.
Right.
So it's the same concept, you know, like how I leave this world and how it gets created does apply to me. And that
exactly.
is for me.
Yeah. Well, Chantel, this has been a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate the insights that you've shared, the importance of the pieces that you shared as well. If our listeners want to learn more about the work you do, where can they find you?
They can find me at dignitywithdeparture.com. That's my lovely website. You can find me Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
All the socials.
Just lovely, yep. And always you would just dig up Dignity with Departure, or you can just Google my name, Chantel Riley. It's interesting. I Googled myself one day and realized you can find me there.
that's excellent. Well, Chantel, thank you so very much.
Yes.
I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you.
And as we close out, I'd like to remind the audience that Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or call us at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, remember, we always listen.